Good evening. This is Mae Brussel in Carmel, California, and it's tape number 355, September the 22nd, 1978. Before I begin my discussion on Evil Younger, I do want to say that the numbering on the tapes, for those of you that have been taking them, will have a single number from now on. The only purpose of my giving side one one number and side two another was that when I was on KLRB and had 30-minute tapes, sometimes the subjects varied from week to week. There was a larger gap between them. And one of the purposes of my doing the tape cassette in the form of a newsletter was that I wanted 1 hour a week. I didn't think a half hour was enough time to go in at length to some of these subjects. And therefore, the other side will always be, or most of the time, be continuous from the first side. It's not separated a week apart. Now both sides are done the same week. Therefore, we're going to the single numbering, and people that order tapes from now on will either order the entire tape instead of breaking it up into two parts, because there is a continuity. So from now on, you'll be getting your tapes. Last week was 354, and this will be 355, and they will continue with a single number, in case you wonder what is happening. Many people are calling and writing letters about the House Select Committee on the assassinations and the outrageous performance that they're putting on. And I will be going at length into the major areas because they're going to take a break in October. So starting next week, September the 29th, I'll do a tape on the House Select Committee, and I'll be doing it maybe for 3 or 4 weeks continuously, along with other news to update. And I hope that you will make copies of these tapes and send them to the members of the House Select Committee and to the news media and to various radio stations and use it for talk shows and call in and begin to expose the criminal activity of those people before they go back into their final months. They'll have public hearings in November, December, but they already are writing their report to say that Lee Harvey Oswald did it alone and James Earl Ray shot Martin Luther King alone. And so that these hearings are just public show, and they're very disgusting, and we'll take them point by point. But the elections are coming up soon for the governor of California, and I want to continue on Evil Younger. I would even like to do one more week on him, but I have typed out, I think, right here, 68 reasons why you shouldn't vote for Evil Younger, and I don't know if we'll even be able to go at length into those. Each one would be a tape of its own. So we'll roll along now and get back to E. Younger. The tape you had last week talked about his desire for death penalty, where criminal conspiracies and assassination patsies can be wiped out. His love of nuclear reactors, his not wanting to disclose where his money comes from, his hiding his CIA connections and burglaries because, in quotes, it would embarrass Evel Younger. Those were the quotations in the San Jose Mercury also Ronald Reagan would be exposed. So they hushed this up, that he was in favor of shredding the Los Angeles Police Department because people wanted to see the records from 49 to 75 of his harassment. Jim Horowitz has a newsletter. I gave it to you once before on a program on one of these tape cassettes, but those of you who don't have it, I'll give it again with the printed sheet here where you can write an analysis of Evel Younger with his organized crime and criminal intelligence branch. There was an article that just came out last week exposing that organization that in 7 years since he formed it, they haven't gotten one major person from the mafia organized crime. And it seems mostly it's the new version of the Red Squad that followed on the heels of the COINTEL program. And you can order this from Jim Horowitz out in California. Younger is out to update the smut laws. He wants to get more muscle into the obscenity prosecutions. This was in July 13, 1973. He's going to go after that angle, you know, and that again goes into freedom of press and so forth if he were governor. In July 1978, there was an article about Ken Reitz, the manager of his campaign, who's looking for a new tough image, as if Younger couldn't get tougher than he is now. In June of this year, 1978, Evel Younger went to San Antonio, Texas, to the Eagles Club, and they're contributing $10,000 a year to the Republican National Committee. He already makes $850 a month retirement from his Air Force Reserve and $530 a month as a retired district attorney of Los Angeles from 64 to 1970, and a retirement of $1,416 a month as the attorney general. He gets that right now as a salary. And then he gets, at age 65 soon, a retirement for being a municipal and superior court judge of 1,637. So he'll be getting his retirement rolling in of about 53,000 a year. Younger says he's going to give some of this to charities, and he supposedly does, but the important thing is his links to the courts. As I mentioned last week, he has a sister on the courts in Los Angeles as a judge, and he has a son, Eric Younger, as a judge. So he wields a lot of power in the family through these people. In 1978, there was an expose in July 17th, last month, of Younger and Exxon, conflict of interest. Evel Younger owns Exxon stock. His wife has Exxon stock, and yet he violated a conflict of interest. The allegation says there was a request to file the Air Resources Board against Exxon as the attorney general because of air pollution permits before building certain refineries, and he made a decision on that as the attorney general, and the Associated Press called a conflict of interest because his wife has Exxon stock, which she says she holds on for sentimental reasons. It also pays high dividends. Evel Younger was accused by a candidate in time back in 1968, I gave you that information, of destroying a confession in order to protect a particular witness, and that black deputy district attorney who was involved in the case died suddenly of a heart failure. Evel Younger has been attacked, not sharp enough, by Mr. Brown, our governor. I wish Jerry Brown would be harder. But just last week, or rather last month, he accused him, in quotes, of not wanting to debate him because he wants to memorize his lines like a Manchurian candidate. He said Evel Younger doesn't want anything spontaneous, and if they have a debate, they have to be specific topics that are printed out that he can read. He has to memorize them, and he can't approach it similar to the debate of Gerald Ford when he was with Jimmy Carter and these stuffy old questions were given. In 1971, at the height of the COINTEL program and the violence in the California prisons, he was attacking what he called a new breed of political activists, and he accused Patrick Hallinan and Faye Stander of abusing inmate attorney mailing privileges, and he attacked the new lawyers who formerly always worked very much for the establishment for helping these new prisoners and getting involved in prison problems. Faye Stander wrote a book on the prison problems, and he was attacking the fact that these lawyers were coming in and helping these kind of people. Younger began a school for narcotics, which is written up in the Horowitz newsletter. Again, I'll give you the dates on that. And it's called, he calls it the Academy of Younger's Dope Network. And again, this dope network leads, as I said last week, to E. Howard Hunt and G. Gordon Liddy and Egil Crow and Tony Laskowitz and Caulfield and the narcotics program in the White House in the 70s. It was really not a narcotics program at all, but was to get the radicals and get the left. E. Howard Hunt and G. Gordon Liddy were working on Operation Intercept. But it wasn't intercepting narcotics. It was intercepting anti-war radicals. Last week, Evel Younger came out to predict they'd legalize pot. He said, in quotes, he would sign it into law, a bill legalizing marijuana, even though he doesn't approve of it. He said, I think the votes are there. And then 4 days later, after he said that, the San Francisco Chronicle had an article, which you probably got around the country, a wire service story, that marijuana is America's number three business, first General Motors, then Exxon, and then marijuana, in terms of billions of dollars, $48 billion in the marijuana market. So it's very cool for Evel Younger to come out now and maybe try to get the hippie vote, where marijuana is a huge corporate thing, and it's big profits going to organized crime, and the Justice Department and the Attorney Generals will go along with it because, for all purposes, they are part of the mafia. I can't see any difference. We'll go in more, Mr. Blakey and his mafia connections and what he's doing with the House Intelligence Committee. But Evel Younger says he will go along with legalizing pot, which is very nice of him, as I say, the third largest business in the United States of America. Typical of Evel Younger and Ronald Reagan's campaigns always was to attack those welfare cheaters. He presented a new budget this week in which he, quote, said, he would cut the California budget by $1 billion. Of course, he knows that Jarvis Gann is very popular to save money, and he said he would take off $67.2 million for summer schools at community colleges and stop the adult education there. Take $500 million off the welfare. It's an outrage. Abolish special aids for local schools, bilingual education, special programs. And he would abolish the State Energy Commission. And he says 448 other agencies would have to provide full justification for their existence. Otherwise, he would veto or stop any of their proposals. Now, one of the biggest stories this week was the link of Evel Younger to the Chowchilla kidnapping. This was a scandal that Evel Younger allegedly has asked to stop being investigated. And for those of you that have my tapes on Chowchilla, the others can order it. You'll know how important that is to me. The San Francisco Chronicle, September 15th, just last week said the allegations steal spotlight from Younger's budget plan. That was the big budget plan to knock off the money for all those various projects. And it has to do with the handling of Evel Younger's a suggestion for Madera County that a district attorney named David Minier, M-I-N-I-E-R, be made the district attorney in Madera County. When they were looking for a DA up there, Evel Younger's office sent in derogatory information about another applicant for the district attorney job, and they praised David Minier in his place, and he was appointed. And I'll tell you the punchline before I go into the details. David Minier then went on to prosecute the Chowchilla case, which I had accused of being a counterintelligence operation to spread terror, to tighten the muscle of law enforcement in California, and also to detract for Jimmy Carter. The very night that Jimmy Carter, practically unknown, was nominated President of the United States, that Chowchilla bus kidnapping took place, which took all the airtime and interest away from Jimmy Carter to the bus kidnapping. It was the number one story in the media last year. And I said that the suspects were not the ones that were apprehended later, that these Patsy are serving their time in jail, that it linked to the Zodiac killing. Well, in 1970, David Minier was raising money for Evel Younger's campaign as the Attorney General in California. And L. Patrick Gray in the Justice Department was the person who had told Mr. Meyer, the U.S. attorney, not to look into the Isla Vista matter. There were nests of political activity in California, such as in Santa Cruz and Santa Barbara, and then moving to Madera County. And this is why it's so important to follow the traces of people that worked with Evel Younger. The scandal is that David Minier, the DA in Santa Barbara, had close contacts with a convicted dealer of LSD. And LSD played a big part in the riots and the killing at Altamont, with the Hells Angels, with the Santa Barbara riots, with the Manson family. And this LSD dealer was convicted, and Minier, as a district attorney, interceded and got wanted probation for him from the authorities, and asked Evel Younger to come in on his half to help get this LSD victim, who was locked up — he wasn't a victim, he was locked up in jail — to get a soft sentence. Now, Minier had funded and raised money for Evel Younger's campaign in 1970. The grand jury is now looking into the fact that Evel Younger is covering up for David Minier. They've accused Evel Younger in Sacramento of impeding the investigation of David Minier up there. Minier had borrowed money from a convicted LSD dealer. He had interceded with the probation authorities. Younger didn't give the information to the grand jury about Minier's relationships to the convicted LSD dealer. And then Younger recommended him in 1976 for Madera County for the district attorney, where he did go on, in fact, and prosecute the Chowchilla. Now, several men, the prosecuting men, wrote a book on Chowchilla just recently, and they were on KGO. And I called up and asked the connections of the Zodiac killer and the note that the Chowchilla men had, and would they open that up to investigation and scrutiny, like the recent Zodiac note in San Francisco that has been forged or planted. And they were very angry, and they said no. And then a man called up after me and said, well, the description of the men who kidnapped the children was entirely different. One had a mole with a hair on his chin and had a tattoo, and they were older. One had a French accent, and the prosecution officials from Madera County said, well, we hypnotized Mr. Ray, the bus driver, because his story was different than the ones that we arrested. But after we hypnotized him, then he remembered what they looked like, and therefore, the young people that are locked up there are serving time because a bus driver was hypnotized and came out with a story similar to the way that Sirhan was hypnotized by Dr. Diamond to be told how he killed Robert Kennedy. Well, this Madera County Chowchilla kidnapping spree is a can of worms, and Evel Younger has been complaining that this discussion of this is interfering with his campaign, and he didn't like that. And he mentioned it last week that this is derogatory, and he didn't want anybody to go further up there at Madera County. They asked that they drop the case. He says, drop the issue, in quotes, Younger said this week, because it would damage his campaign for governor, and that he denied he ever spoke to the grand jury foreman about being easy on David Menier and really going into how he got appointed in the first place. Well, the Chowchilla inquiry should be opened up, and the OCCIB, that's California's own political police force that I talk about, Evel Younger's Red Squad, could be linked to the Chowchilla kidnappings. And I was very excited when I saw those links of Younger to Menier, to Madera County and Chowchilla, because I know that there's a big, big story behind that, and that has been suppressed for it too long. And someday, what I call the California Violence Syndrome will go back to the CIA, the Defense Department, and offices of Evel Younger's. And, of course, the major thing, one of the major things that I clued into Younger was the covering up of the Robert Kennedy assassination. In 1972, there was speculation over who would be the heir to the White House appointment of the FBI agent, and the San Jose Mercury suggested such men as Robert Mardian or California Attorney General Evel Younger, who had links with a key White House law enforcement. Now, this is important to have these tapes that I'm doing for you on Evel Younger, because if he doesn't become governor of this state, he will get an appointment as either a Supreme Court judge, having been municipal and Superior Court, or he will be head of the FBI someday. He's going to get a major appointment if he doesn't win the governorship, just as Mr. Bush in Texas lost in the campaign for governor, I believe it was, or running for Congress, and then was appointed director of the CIA and now says he wants to be president. What I'm running down here isn't enough for a good argument for you, but I have articles and research on each one of these things. And when the appointment comes up, each of these things should be brought up. And, of course, we should investigate how Evel Younger set up the... In 1972, Marge Buckley was running against Evel Younger for political office as a member of the Peace and Freedom Party, and she accused Evel Younger of acting in blind obedience. She had an article in the Los Angeles Star that said Evel Younger should not act in blind obedience, that he's overlooking crimes by public officials. And there was a particular case where a policeman barged into a home and murdered an infant in the crib, and she accused him of covering it up. And, of course, later then he wanted to shred or approved of shredding the police files where they'd been charged with these various crimes, and he didn't think it was important to keep these files around. So he covered up the investigation and then later said it was perfectly all right to burn the complaints and get rid of them. No police were ever prosecuted or exposed for his activities, and the man in charge of the law enforcement in the area, the district attorney, was an apologist always for murders and harassment of minorities, Mexican-Americans, Black Panthers. It was in March of 1973 that Evel Younger felt the sting of Watergate and it might affect his political career, and he thought he would stay away from that for a while. That Watergate would hurt his chances for running at the time. He said, in quotes, "The whole story of Watergate bugging has not yet been told. The situation will certainly hurt not just my own candidacy for governor, but all Republicans." And he said he felt sorry for acting director of the FBI, Patrick Gray III. And then when Watergate broke with the secret funding of people handing politicians money under the table and over the table, he said, in quotes, "I will never again use the EJY Club for fundraising." He had used it since 1940, the Evel J. Younger Club for funding, but when Watergate broke, he thought he would bow out a little. Watergate didn't taint him. I thought it would. The Squad 19, the Lewis Tackwood allegations. I really thought that Watergate would hurt Evel Younger, but it didn't. People are stupid, and they get lazy, and they let a man like this continue on his political career, which is going to go up and up and up and up. And you should consider men like Robert Mardian was suggested as FBI director. He was caught in the National Archives at the time of Watergate with G. Gordon Liddy, watching pictures of the Gestapo, of Nazi concentration camps. Liddy speaks German, identifies with Adolf Hitler, I believe has praised Hitler, and these men probably were learning techniques or whatever down in the archives, and Robert Marty and Espy tried separately from the Watergate defendants. I don't even believe he lost his law degree or got a slap on the wrist. He was completely cleared, and goodness knows what mischief he's up to today. In 1973, at the time of Watergate, Evel Younger was with John Connally, and they were making jokes about how clean they were. This was in the Washington Post. This is September the 10th, 1973. Younger was kidding about having not one scandal in his past, in quotes, "I don't do any cheating, no stealing, no boozing, no bugging, no phone tapping, no running with women. I'm a good driver, but a mediocre swimmer." And he was making fun of Ted Kennedy and Chappaquiddick. He didn't talk about wiring Tony Pewitt with sound to frame Dr. Rundell, we talked about last week, or wiping up the alleged murder charges of Cesar Chavez because they linked to his narcotic squad working in the Treasury Department that later surfaced at Watergate. He didn't talk about dropping the murder charges against the law enforcement people that actually killed Ruben Salazar, or the Marin County shootout with Judge Haley dying and other Jonathan Jackson, other people dying, and six people dying at the San Quentin shootout, or orchestrating things like the Manson family or the California violences, or possibly the Chowchilla and the Zodiac, and this long, long list of counterintelligence terror, which gives him the excuse for the muscles and the organizations and the criminal intelligence system that he has, testing mind control, testing police, SWAT teams, creating the SLA with Donald DeFries, cremating six people on television. They had no food in the house. They had sent out for food to the corner. He could have starved them out, and they would have run out of ammunition. They could have cleared out the neighborhood. Evel Younger has the nerve to say he doesn't have one scandal in his past. Can you believe that? Of course, this was in 73 before he cremated the people, the SLA, down in Los Angeles. But the other things had taken place, these prison violences and a lot of the violences. And he's making fun of Ted Kennedy. And for all purposes, we don't know the role of his agents in that operation. Tony Laskowitz from the Treasury Department was at Chappaquiddick the night of the accident. And I still don't believe the evidence would ever confirm that Ted Kennedy drove that car. And Evel Younger can use this as a political thing and brag to John Connally, notoriously linked to the Defense Industry Security Command, to Lee Harvey Oswald. Lee Harvey Oswald was writing to him from the Soviet Union, "When I come home, I'll work for you. I've talked about the Torbett document and the Tyrol Bay Club. Here are the biggest wheelers and dealers of the Western world," making jokes. No scandals, no cheating, no stealing, no boozing, no bugging, no phone, no running with women. Evel Younger may have his wife, Mildred. She couldn't speak for 20 years. She finally is able to use her vocal cords. And Nellie Connally. I mean, they have one woman per one man, but my God, what else do they do? I mean, it would be better to chase around with a few women and get off the killing kick, but they reverse their priorities and think that they're clean, in quotes, and they're not cheating. Therefore, they are official candidates for presidents or judges or governors or whatever you want. Another scandal is the Evel Younger slush fund, I say the EJY club that he had. An article came out about that slush fund recently, but when the first stories of that fund began to be exposed after Watergate, and the fund had been going on for a long time, one of the men who was a member of the club who supports Evel Younger is Grant Cooper. Now, Evel Younger is a district attorney of Los Angeles, prosecuted Sirhan Sirhan with the help of letting Thane Caesar not be arrested, with hypnotizing Sirhan to say that he killed Robert Kennedy. And the man defending Sirhan Sirhan in this case, Grant Cooper, had just come from the case of John Roselli. John Roselli worked with organized crime, worked for Howard Hughes, worked with Robert Mayhew and the assassination teams. When Grant Cooper got off of John Roselli's case, he represented Sirhan, the defense of Sirhan Sirhan, charged with killing Senator Robert Kennedy. But he was a member of the prosecuting team and funded the prosecuting DA, Evel Younger. He was giving money to Evel Younger. Two other people belonged to the Evel Younger Club. They allegedly paid $250 a year. One was Richard Caballero, and the other was Paul Caruso, both attorneys for Sue Atkins in the Manson family. Now, Sue Atkins broke the story of how the murders took place at Sharon Tate's home and LaBianca's home. She worked with Lawrence Schiller, this great author of the CIA, who's notoriously linked to all these various conspiracy biographies and stories. And Sue Atkins was prosecuted by the district attorney's offices, Evel Younger's offices, but her attorneys for the defense, Richard Caballero and Paul Caruso, all also donated for the Evel Younger Club. You see how cozy that is. I just read last week, and I might have mentioned it on the tape, I don't know if I did or not, that a D.A. Browning in San Francisco is now the attorney for F. Lee Bailey's ammunition factory, airplane factories. F. Lee Bailey works with the Defense Industry Security Command. He defended Patty Hearst, and the district attorney who prosecuted Patty Hearst was hired later by her defense lawyer to become his lawyer. And once again, you get this can of worms of the defense and the prosecution working together in these famous conspiracy cases. Joseph Ball and Mr. Grant Cooper and Richard Caballero and Paul Caruso, members of the Evel Younger Slush Fund. I'd like to see the list of who else gave to that fund. That would be interesting. In 1973, there was an article about Evel Younger in the L.A. Free Press. It says, Evel Younger's duty is to see the laws of the state uniformly and adequately enforced. Whenever any law is not being adequately enforced, it shall be the duty of the Attorney General to prosecute any violation of the law. Younger purposely set the Board of Education files up in a manner which would make it difficult to investigate them. They were having trouble down there, and he not only stopped investigation of the police murders, just blatant murders, such as running in an apartment, barging in and killing a baby, killing Chicanos and blacks, and encouraging the destruction of the police charges of improprieties later. But there was a problem with the Board of Education, and they called attention to the fact that he does not see that the laws of the state are uniformly and adequately enforced, and he made the investigation difficult. At the time of the SLA, Evel Younger was accused of, I was accusing him of using the terrorist activities of the SLA, which he had created, for future police force, future private detectives, more surveillance, and again into his counterintelligence operations, such as the Phoenix Program in Southeast Asia. Evel Younger had a lot to say at the time of the SLA. He had a press conference in 1974 where he said the SLA exemplifies the new breed of educated, resourceful, and disciplined terrorists. The SLA took a page from a book written by terrorists in Latin America, Middle East, and Northern Ireland. And while he was having these press conferences and went to Washington to testify about terrorism in California, he didn't say that Donald DeFries had been an agent of his in a criminal conspiracy section of the Los Angeles Police Department. In 1973, Evel Younger turned down a probe of a major oil company, not only the Clean Air Bill, because he's very much against the energy commissions or the investigation of clean air, but he was supposed to probe a major oil company and their part in a conspiracy to produce a gasoline shortage. It was a spurious gasoline shortage, which later we found out was true. We were getting up at 6 in the morning and staying in line to get gasoline to fill up the tanks, and there was this terrible shortage. And they asked him to probe this, that this was a fake shortage. Again, his wife does own Exxon stocks, and the shortage brought up tremendous profits in the Middle East for the Middle East oil companies, and he turned down a plea to probe this fake shortage. I've listed the various California violence as what I call the counterintelligence. And last week in the San Francisco Chronicle, there was an article, September the 12th, 1978, by Warren Hinkle. And it has to do with a man named Jim Wilcott of the Central Intelligence Agency, a long article saying how he worked with Lee Harvey Oswald in Navy intelligence in Southeast Asia. And the thrust of the article was about his working in the Navy with Lee Harvey Oswald in Tokyo and giving him money as an agent. But in there, there was an interesting paragraph that might have been lost in the headlines about his relationship to Oswald. And that this is the quotation. He said, "We took persons from Vietnamese mental hospitals. We turned them into psychopathic personalities for the Central Intelligence Agency. We outfitted them as Viet Cong. They pillaged the villages. And then we hoped that the sympathies would be on our side. When they saw the Viet Cong pillaging them, they would then come to the military and the law enforcement for protection." And that is why I say you have to study the California violences. I list them again. The Manson family, the Zodiac killer, Edmund Kemper, Mr. Mullen, the Oda family murders, the Chowchilla kidnappings, the Zebra killings, the Isla Vista riots, the San Quentin shootouts, the Soledad murders, the killing of Popeye Jackson, the Juan Corona case is going to be tried again. All of these have to be investigated because I allege that these are counterintelligence to give Evel Younger and law enforcement the muscle and equipment that they need. Yeah, the SLA too, of course, the major SLA operation. I'll do more about Evel Younger on the other side of this tape now. I'm sorry, I made a mistake on this tape. I didn't mean to say Evel Younger. I meant to say Evel Younger. I really mean that.